For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good afternoon to you. It's Saturday, June 22nd at 4:11 p.m. This is my fourth attempt to do this. This is the best thing. When you are your own producer and your technical knowledge is, let's just say, minimal or just barely. Thank you. Thank you guys for saying, thank you for telling me it's working. I appreciate that. Ted and Nita Bienverse, appreciate you guys being here. But I've tried this three times, and I don't know if it showed up on your feed if you ring the bell. I don't think it did. I went back and checked my live feed. Nothing's on there. So if you tried and it was not showing, I apologize. I don't know if this is on me or on YouTube. I think this one's on YouTube. Regardless, doesn't matter. I'm here. It's an unusual Saturday quit cast time, and I just had some thoughts based on some things that are going out. Hope you guys are all doing well. It is hot outside right now in central Indiana, blazingly hot. I believe it's above 90 right now. It's been flirting above 90 pretty much every day, last few. And so for me, I've gotten to the point where I'm dead in the summer doldrums. And so I'm enjoying the coziness, the wonderful feeling of the air conditioning right now, as a couple things need some attention around the old BS World headquarters, but they're not getting it. So before I start, thanks to our friends at Homefield. If you are in the market for a t-shirt or sweatshirt or hat, or want to buy a gift for somebody, they have a code right now that you can use. It'll actually get 20% off. Check out our Twitter feed, because I cannot remember what it is right now. It's 20% off, though. It's on there. And if you don't want to use the 20% off, you can get 15% off using Boiled 23, like normal. Can't even remember. I'm out of practice. But check our Twitter feed if you want a better deal. They emailed people about it, and I would go with that. I'd go with the better deal. Also, when you're on campus, go to AJ's, say hi to Adam and Jake, and eat something delicious, and you'll leave happy. So let's talk a little bit about what's happening right now as Jakari Harris continues his tryout for the Mexican national team. I believe he's in Mexico, but Brian Newbert said he was in Arizona today. So I don't know which one's true. Regardless, Jakari Harris is out, and there's been some pretty neat video released from basketball practice from different sources. Boiler Upload, I think Golden Black, and I think Boiler Ball have all had info and photos and video released. Really good stuff. And I had some takeaways from that. I wanted to hear if you had some of the same takeaways. Some surprises there embedded, and in my thumbnail, you can see one of the big surprises to me, of course, is CJ Cox. CJ Cox, if you watch him play in practice, looks super fluid, absolutely looks the part. Like he looks like a beast. He does not look like a true freshman. Newbert said he's more of a true point guard on the defensive side of things, I said. I think maybe offensive side. But he's a good two-way player, too. He's a heck of a defender. That was what he was known for in high school. But when you watch CJ Cox play in these highlights, you're seeing a guy that is already making significant noise to me in being a guy that will back up Braden Smith from the jump. That's a big deal. Maybe he can sneak in that third guard slot a little bit, like we talk so much about Harris. But in the absence of Harrison practice, CJ Cox has looked like a guy that's going to be another one that's hard to keep off the court. That's a bit of a surprise. I think it's a surprise for Purdue fans that didn't know much about him like me. I'll fully admit it. I watched some videos of him. I was like, okay, he's playing against New Hampshire competition. New Hampshire, not a hotbed of basketball by any means. But once again, Coach Matt Painter seems to have found a diamond in the rough that not a lot of schools were interested in, and it looks like they've got a good one. A guy who's defensive-minded, a guy who's tough, a guy who's physically ready to play right away, and a guy who can shoot. Again, this is an ongoing theme. Painter learned years ago that he's got to have guys that can score. Got to have guys that can score that don't really have to be set up with plays, but just can make shots. And this is another one of those. Another guy that if you look at the videos, if you look at the photos, who is jumping out to me is Raleigh Burgess. Burgess is another surprise. the only one I haven't really seen of the freshman class that I was like, okay, let's see what he can do, because I watched his high school highlights. I saw a couple games that Binter played in. So I'm looking forward to those coming out. Now, there are other guys that you don't see in the photos very much. You don't see in the videos very much. I thought of Binter, of course. Lawyer, I mean, there's some good pictures of Lawyer, but not a ton of action. I don't think anything's changed with Lawyer. I don't think he's going anywhere, meaning he's not getting worse. And Jacobson, of course, you've seen, there's a couple pictures. One of them is he's shooting over Burgess. Looks like a close in jump hook. He looks, I mean, to me, that's great. They did have some video of him doing individual workouts or non-defensive workouts. The thing that I saw about him is he's a guy that moves. Again, I saw this in the USA team stuff. He just moves so darn well without the ball. And I think that's going to play well for Purdue. I think he's going to play well in the system. But you don't see a ton of action video in what's been released. We don't see a ton of Miles Colvin other than him getting up and down quickly at the rim. Colvin and Heidi, similarly, their ability to jump and finish at the rim looks just effortless. And you love to see it because the athleticism that's injected with it when they're in the game is a big deal to Purdue. But there are a lot of guys that we haven't seen a ton of in those videos. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that they're not in those videos. They're not featured in those photos. I think more than anything, it's just, these are just practices, right? The thing that the biggest thing I took away from these videos, and you can tell me again if you disagree or agree, the pace these guys are playing with. Maybe it's because I'm an old man and watching a basketball practice with a bunch of guys in their prime. I'm just like awed by it in the first place. But the pace at which they play, and when they're playing scrimmages at right now, they're not taking breaks. When the ball goes through the hoop, they are being coached up to go quickly. You take the ball out of bounds and you move. Everybody goes fast. Painter talked about the offense is generally geared at going quickly this week in an interview. And you can see it, the physical fitness that this team is demanding, these systems are demanding. It's really on display in these videos. It's incredibly fast, the pace of practice, and that's a good thing to see. On the football side of things, I did want to talk about a couple more things. This is going to be a genuine quick cast, by the way, I believe, unless your questions are just knocking my socks off, which they might be, who knows. But the other things that got my attention on the football side of thing, number one is Brandon Gorin's son decided to come to Purdue. He gave his verbal following some of the camp season. Gorin's son is 6'5", 265. And I'm a huge fan of Brandon Gorin just because he and I are buddies. If you don't know the history, I was an RA in the unit that he was in, back in when he was a freshman. His roommate was Rocco Faggio. And if you ever visited those guys in the dorm and you're old like me, or you're on their floor or whatever, I think Faggio was like 6'5", 6'6", and Gorin was 6'7". Having two mammoth human beings in one small dorm room is noteworthy. I would always go by and say hi just because Brandon's such a nice guy. I didn't know Rocco as well. But I kept that relationship with Brandon. I kept in touch with him, and now he lives in Fishers, and his son now is coming to Purdue, coming to God's country. And this is one of those commitments I feel pretty good talking about. The idea of a commitment in college recruiting being something that gets our attention and we get excited about, you know, Boiled Sports, we're not big recruiting guys, especially as we get older. I think it just doesn't grab our attention. But having a legacy come to Purdue, a guy that has been good with the program, good for the program in Brandon Gorin, who had a good NFL career, that's great for me. It's heartening for me to see his son coming to Purdue. So I just put that in there. You win the battles in the trenches, you win games in the trenches, and having a big, capable offensive lineman who's the son of a legacy, who is not the son of a legacy, who is a legacy and just knows the game. Nothing but positive there for me. And I just want to say congratulations to Brandon publicly. He and I traded DMs. He's a good guy. And the final thing in football that I want to talk about was the uniforms. They have been teased by Purdue football's Twitter feed and the Instagram feed. They talk about upgrades coming, I think is what the words they used. And I'm kind of a dork when it comes to football uniforms. I love seeing what they're going to do next. This is a tall order for me because I really liked a lot of what the uniforms had going for them. I think I'm not the only one that said, okay, these were pretty good uniforms that Purdue had. Only thing, the numbers were so thick. I think they're based on Ohio State's font, but the offset, the outline became Purdue's inset. And then they had another outline outside of that in the gold on gold. They were very, very broad numbers. So I think if you're going to complain about anything, it'd be that. But I thought the uniforms were solid the last few years during this, except for the ones with the tonal. Never liked that piss gold jersey with the contrast shoulders. Apologize for my language, but that's what I think about that gold. Or the anthracite jersey. Never liked that. But I like the uniforms in general. Love the black gold uniforms. Love the all whites with the black numerals. So the bar is high. Many Purdue fans have talked about wanting to see a version or really a derivative of the moon landing uniform. And I am in complete lockstep with those people. I love those uniforms, love the lids, love the whole thing. But we have to wait another week. So they teased them out on Thursday saying they were coming. They didn't do anything Thursday. Didn't do anything Friday. My guess is early next week we'll finally get to see them. I will talk about that too when it goes public. And we can get together and share our thoughts on that. Thanks to everybody who's live. Really appreciate it. Like I said, you're probably like me, just escaping the heat right now. The late June, which feels like July heat here in Indiana. Ted Berkey says, good afternoon. Need a breathing verse is here. Says it loud and clear. Ted Berkey said he saw the alert two times. Okay, so what happened, Ted? I mean, I'm telling you, I went live two times before this, and it fizzled. Like I was recording, and nothing ever showed. So I blame me, and then I'll blame YouTube second, but we can share the blame, whatever it is. Olive D. Jazzer says, it's here, we're here, everyone's here, we're meeting together for a quick cast. Floppy Days Podcast says, hey, good to see you, you too. I don't know who Floppy Days Podcast is, but that's good. I'm glad you're here. Who's Johnny? Purdue's going to surprise a lot of people this season. In basketball, it's incredible how simple-minded some of the basketball, or some of the casual college basketball fans are. I think they believe that Purdue was founded by Zach Edey, and they don't remember before 4 years ago, but we all do. Everyone here remembers that Purdue was pretty good and had some good things going. The momentum is going to continue, clearly, with this class. And it's great to see that the culture is it's well intact in the wake of what's happened with losing one of the members of that class. Adam P says, good afternoon. Who's Johnny says, does anyone know if it's true that Catchings asked Painter to come back after the day he asked and let out of the commitment? I don't know if this comment is tongue in cheek, because Painter actually addressed this. Yes, Catchings came back and asked or tried to have another conversation about, hey, everything's fine. A lot of funny people on Twitter were saying they compared it to George Costanza just showing up for work after resigning. And I thought that was funny. I thought it was apt. The guys over at another, let's call it regional podcast, and I locked horns a little bit because I thought they jumped the gun on things, because they did. And they get really animated and they have a good, I think they were really fair during Purdue during this season, but they had a good time really yucking it up at Purdue's expense when Catchings decided he wanted out of his letter intent. And so what I'm seeing is a theme that if they can aggressively go at Purdue, they will. And I take umbrage in it in the fact that they act like they shouldn't be held accountable when they're wrong. They should be held accountable. And you can be a fan of them and like their takes and all that, but when somebody's flat out wrong and they're doing it at the expense of your alma mater, you probably should take a little bit of umbrage, even if you're fans of them. I take quite a bit of umbrage of it because I know that they aren't Purdue guys. They are Michigan and Michigan State guys. That's fine. But Yeah, I don't appreciate it. That's flat out. That's it. So whatever, they can do whatever they want. It's their show. But not telling the real story, I'm going to be bothered by that. Especially when you're doing it in an animated way. Let's see. Zachary Young says, I don't think Paint would say it happened if it wasn't true. I don't either. I don't think he did lie. So I believe Paint. I think that's a lie that would easily be unraveled if it wasn't true. Very easily, because you have Catching's family who always liked Painter. Catching's himself, who at one point liked Painter and wanted to play for him. This would be really unraveled very quickly. It would have been done already publicly, I think, if Paint had lied, and he didn't lie. Neil Beanvers, he's answered the question. Who's Johnny? Says CJ Cox is going to be great coming off the bench. He is. He's going to put a lot of energy in there real quickly. Good amount of physicality as well. I am excited to see him play. I think we should all be really excited about that. Floppy Days Podcast says, I don't blame Paint. Sounds like the 20th time, tongue in cheek, that he did that. Yeah, it right on. This was a recurring issue. And good for Painter. That's what I'm seeing. The really interesting thing in the aftermath of this is I'm seeing a lot more people in Painter's corner on this and saying, good job for holding the line. I don't know how you can't think anything but that. The really interesting thing is the BYU fans that have been coming at you, if you're on Twitter or other places talking trash. They're not very good talking trash. That's a real, seems like a pretty nice fan base, honestly. And so that ain't their thing. It's not everybody, you know, but good for them. Good for them for not being good at that. I'm not going to read that. Sorry. Who's Johnny says Catching's wouldn't have been a good fit, obviously. I tend to agree. Paint says Paint's looking for Lawyer to get many more shots this season. Lawyer is one of those guys that probably took a bit of a back seat in the system with Edie there. Everybody, let's be honest. There was a cost to the offensive play for everybody on the court except for Braden Smith and Edie last season because of the system that was being run. The system, and Painter admits this, everything went through Edie because he said, let's give him a chance to take a look and make the first decision on how the offense should go. So guys like Lawyer didn't get as many shots. There's a lot of guys that didn't get as many shots up. And there are a lot of guys that are going to feast, I think, in the with that vacuum being created. I agree. Ted Berkey says, he's talking to Johnny. Need to be in versus says, I don't blame Payne either. It's unfortunate, but based on Catching's expressed doubts, Painter had to choose the lesser of the two evils and chose the option that will serve the program better in the long run. Absolutely. Who's Johnny says, can't lie. I'm a little disappointed that Catchings won't be on the team. His skill set is amazing. I'm with you. I hope everybody understands that I'm not trying to tear anybody down. I don't mean to do that if that's coming across with Catchings. But there are a couple things. One, I was super excited about seeing him as a Purdue player. And maybe I was a little too excited. But I was like, man, this guy is a huge difference maker because of that skill set and his length. I wish he would have decided to come to Purdue. I wish he would have wanted to come to Purdue. That's the big thing. He didn't want to be here. He didn't want to be part of the team. He didn't want to do things the way the program does, and that's okay. So you go someplace else, find a fit that's better. I don't think he won in this battle, in my opinion. I don't think he came out ahead just because, I mean, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe BYU and this new the new coach, they're just going to be set up for just sending guys straight to the league, and this is a perfect fit for him, perfect fit for his career. More than likely, this cost him some exposure. Obviously, the Big Ten TV contract's worth something. The fact that the Big Ten is exposed and Purdue is the reigning champ in season, all that stuff matters. The fact that Purdue's coming off a Final Four and people are watching them, all that matters. And I think he would have had an important role, especially by January, February, and we all move on. Let's see. Ted Berkey says, I think it lowers our potential ceiling a bit. We lose good talent, but we might raise our floor at the same time with the volatility could kill the team. And I think that I agree with that idea. Come February, if you had a team that was just humming along, and pretend for a second Catchings would have gotten cold feet again at that point, or just sort of said, you know, things aren't going my way, I want to do something different. He showed a pattern. Never did that at OTE. He didn't ever back out there. He didn't show that in high school, but you never know. he clearly wasn't happy with his commitment to Purdue. So he gets go to the place where he wants to go. Need to be in versus, that's certainly disappointing, but less so given the mentality. If he had been all in and fully committed, we somehow lost him, injury, et cetera, I'd be much more upset. This just wasn't meant to be. Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. Let's see. Ted Berkey says, Sleepers is shocked that Painter came out of this looking good. They're an interesting, I like these guys. I think they're entertaining. They work as hard as anybody. Like, I mean that in that space, like, I think they work harder than the field of 68. They do more stuff. They do more, they put more content out there. I think the problem is when you're putting that much content out, when you're recording that many shows, streaming that many shows, I don't think they stream very often, but when you're recording that many and you're parsing them up and you have to say things that are entertaining, and they're doing things that are, they're fast, right? They're trying to react. It's almost like fast fashion. If you're into that sort of thing, you're going to make mistakes in fast fashion, right? You're going to put things out that are stupid looking. Similarly, you're going to make big statements when you are reacting quickly to things. Let's leave aside the idea that what the clickbait content is, you know, like what, you know, I got accused of it recently, a month ago, of being a clickbait guy. And if that's what you do all the time, where you're trying to just make sure you get people in the door so they can hear, you're going to say some things that are wrong. That's okay. But just take your medicine with you to do. And I think they're generally pretty good at admitting when they're wrong. I think they've been wrong a couple times in the last 2 weeks. And that's it. Let's see. Need to be versus is not a fan of the other podcast. A little obnoxious for my taste, but that's fine. Yeah, I think they're entertaining. I mean, I think they've got a formula there when you have two people that are kind of playing off each other. That works really well. There's a lot to be said about age. Like, for instance, I know a couple of people that are a little bit older than me that don't like them. There's a style there that either you like or you dislike. I like them. I like listening to them. I didn't like some of the stuff they were doing down the stretch with their sponsors. And I know little things can annoy us as consumers when we have as much choice as we do right now in this space. People can jump ship really easily. I think the big thing for me is I'm generally looking for more Purdue content, and I'm looking for it to be delivered in a certain way that I can listen to it or watch it. You guys are the same way. You guys have lots of choices. I appreciate everybody here who's here watching live, listening live, and people who are watching on delay. But there's a lot of choice out there. And if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. I think they do a pretty good job, but like I said, disagree with some of them. Ted Berkey says, BYU said they want to develop the program into a pipeline for the NBA. And that's an interesting angle, right? That's what Calipari always claimed to do and always did at Kentucky. And it hasn't worked of late. The freshman one and done model of sending guys straight through hasn't done great the last few years since the advent of the importance of the NIL and the portal. Guys coming out being older, right? Developing young players into older players is what Painter's trying to do, right? That's what they're known for. So BYU wants to be a place where you just send guys straight through the NBA. They got the Russian kid. They got Catchings, and they got another guy, I think. We'll see how it plays for him. It's definitely, you know, it's a, that's what you're known for. That's fine. I think you're playing with fire, but I've never liked that. Brian Newbert said it great. He said, there's a lot of ways to develop a team, a program right now. A lot of things are within the rules that used to not be within the rules. So the margins got wider. So there's less of a right and a wrong way of doing things, unless you just are philosophically opposed to the ultra quick development of players. Newbert also continued, by the way, at a great point. He said Purdue, the reason they got to the Final Four was Lance Jones was on that team. So this is kind of like six of one, half a dozen the other. You have to say, okay, this can work, bringing a player in out of the transfer portal. Obviously, that was important for Purdue. They had a need. This year, not only do they not have a need because the roster is more complete, but you also have a ton of guys that are wanting to return and get on the court. So we'll see what happens. I think it's hard to believe that Paint's philosophy can continue to succeed at the level as it has the last 5 years Like I said, Zach Edey glosses over a lot of issues, especially with youth, because he was such an opposing figure. But I do think the idea of having something that defines you that is very clear. Pate wants guys to come in. He wants them to be there, kind of the old Butler way that you know, having guys that say, yeah, I really want to be at Purdue. I think that's a key part of the equation. The next thing he's saying, okay, I want guys that really say, okay, the team is more important than me. And finally, I want guys that that can score. You know, shooting has been really, really paramount in the guys he's recruited. And he's just gotten guys that want to be there. Gosh darn it. They've been good guys. They've been easy to cheer for. Let's hope it continues. Finally, maniacally, Steve. Need to be in versus Boiled Sports for life. Well, that's great. That's awesome. That's a big-time compliment. Appreciate it. And maniacally, Steve says, sleepers is great after a Purdue win, after a loss. Don't even bother. Yeah, and that's, I think, but that goes along with us, right? That's on our side of the fence that we just, you know, we want to be in part of the good time party. And there was a lot of it last year. We can't take that for granted. Shane Cox says, I hope we Purdue fans aren't underestimating TKR. My lack of mentioning him, I'm not underestimating him. I think he's going to be extremely important. And Purdue's been so good at putting big men in the position to succeed. We have no reason to believe TKR is not going to be special. None. He showed it a couple times where I don't know if Edey was in foul trouble. Can't remember which game where he had 20 something points. But yeah, TKR, I'm not underestimating him or Painter, I'm not underestimating anybody. The system's ability to feed the big man and to get him in place. And I mean, the big man, you've had multiple. This is what defines Purdue. One of the things that defines Purdue is the usage of a power forward center type, really center more than power forward. So, you know, TKR is a beast. TKR is a different animal. Obviously, he is so athletic. He's very strong from the waist down. His ability to get position, it's pretty incredible. And it's really more in line with what modern college basketball is instead of having a 7 foot, 7'2", 7'4" center. That said, that worked pretty well for Purdue last couple of years. So Karen Grulock. And by the way, Karen, I realized I've been mispronouncing your name for months. I want to apologize. It's not Grulock. It's Grulock, right? So I apologize. But yes, bourbon slushies kind of day. Boiler up. Yeah. If you've got a bourbon slushie on a hot day like today, that's great. I am not. I'm just drinking some generic green tea Lipton bottled product. So I would be up for a bourbon slushie if you got one. Send it my way. That's all we got today. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for taking time from your time at the pool today, maybe. Or if you're in between Little League baseball or basketball on that horrible, horrible youth circuit that so many parents are on right now. Just it rings you out. I'm not on it, obviously, right now. I coach rec league, and my daughter's season is over, and it feels like you get a raise when you get to open up that schedule a little bit, but some of you are on the grind on that stuff. So hats off to you. I don't know how you do it, especially if you've been doing it for years and years and years. Derek Mulliken says, just wanted to say hi. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you, Derek. Used to watch live, but can't anymore, but I still always watch. You rock. Thank you, Derek. I appreciate stuff like that. Always appreciate it. Glad to be a part of or a place where we can all meet. The reason you haven't been able to watch live this summer is because my schedule's been weird, maybe. I'll get back to the obviously game-centric content in the fall with football. What I want to do in the football season is I want to have a post during the week previewing the game, maybe talking about what happened after the fallout of the post game, and then I'll do a post game. That's pretty much what I'll do during the football season. Obviously, basketball has been super interesting to talk about, and there's so much good stuff out. I got to tell you, Foreman and Company have continued great. The balloons are here. Foreman and Company have told the story really well to keep us all tuned in. The interesting thing is football, we haven't heard as much, right? There just hasn't been as much. I think the more we can hear from football, the better we're going to all be as fans to get back and kind of switch gears over to football. I love college football. I probably like college football. I absolutely like college football more than college basketball. I just like the season. I like the event. Like being at a game. And I haven't had much to talk about there. So, yeah, I would love to have more information released there from the football side of things, but it's just not out there. And in the meantime, those guys are getting swole, right? Getting ready for the season. I know nobody says swole anymore, except for you out there who's in that great shape. But Ted Berge says football is hard as we don't know the roster. Football's really difficult right now because we don't know the roster, right? There's a lot of guys who transferred in. And that's what I've been trying to do because I'm pretty bad at that. Truth be told, I've always been bad at that. And I leaned on the people around me, the people that are in our block for season tickets. I've always leaned on them for saying, hey, who was that? It's going to be even worse for them. So I apologize in advance to my brothers and my good friends who are right here with me. I'm going to be asking a lot of questions. Who's number, whatever, right? Ted Berge says, I saw that 80% of the team from the roster was recruited by Walters. Wow. That's pretty amazing in second season to say there's been that much turnover. And I believe it. This is natural. It's going to happen, right? Where you have a different philosophy, a different type of kid you're recruiting, different needs. One thing, based on what we know now, right, in hindsight, was that Brom wanted guys that were absolutely juiced during the game, right? Ready to go, ready to brawl. He wanted a certain kind of a wound up nature of a player. I don't know if Walters, if we can say, well, he wants guys that are more controlled. I don't think that's it because it's so defensive centric. But the fact that he's defense heavy, I think that's a big deal. So the defensive backfield, for instance, the amount of stress he's put into bulking up that group, right? To making that unit better. I think that speaks a lot to where he's putting his eggs are in that basket, right? So, sorry to quote Daryl Hazel whenever I do that. Malagley Steve says, street fight between the whistles. Exactly. A street fight between the whistles. Exactly. I'm sure I just blew some people's ears out if you're listening on headphones, so I apologize. But yeah, that was a fun Jeff Brom thing. But I don't know if you guys noticed this. Maybe we can say this now that he's not at Purdue. But, you know, I think he was really good at playing up his pregame talks, his pregame speeches for TV. Very good at it, right? From slamming down the chair to just getting guys into it. He knew that that was also a pretty good recruiting tool to go get dudes, right? To get attention, to get eyes on the program. He was really good at that. Good at some things, not as good at other things, right? I think we can all say that too. So, how we're gonna judge the Walters era? Obviously, it's new. My son asks the question all the time: how many wins puts Walters on the position where he is the apple of so many programs' eyes? And I think to me, it's 7 or 8 wins makes him really, really attractive to a lot of programs who want a new coach. So you have to almost like grow the thing at a pace that, and I don't mean to say you want him to lose. You don't want that. I wouldn't say for me that a 7-8 win season is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like I told you, I think 5 to 6 wins is where I'm thinking would be a pretty good season. Pretty good season with this schedule. 7-8 wins, though, with this schedule, I think would have the attention of every athletic director in America who's looking for a coach. So there's that, you know, give and take of this era of college football and how many of the programs with big, deep pockets need a coach this offseason. We've been through that. That feels horrible. We went through it too many times, in my opinion, during Brom's, 6 seasons? So, all right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for making the quick cast into a not-so-quick cast. We're at 33 minutes. God bless you. Hammer down. Talk to you soon. And stay cool. It's hot out there, baby.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.